Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. Let's dive right in. Two wild games last night, the first of which, of course, the Braves and the Dodgers. And about 5 hours before that game began, game two of the series, the Dodgers announced that Clayton Kershaw was scratched from that game to start. And talking with Dave Roberts on the Zoom call before last night's game, he said that last Saturday, Kershaw started to feel some back spasms. He kind of had an issue. And in recent days, they weren't really sure if he was going to be able to start. And Roberts talked to him yesterday, and Kershaw basically said, yeah, I'm feeling better, but I don't know exactly what I can give you. So they made the decision to start Tony Gonsolin, a rookie, who started out pretty good, and then in the top of the fourth inning, it all began to turn.
Gonsolin ready and delivers. Swing and a ball hammered right field. If it's fair, it's gone. It's fair, it's gone! Freddie Freeman has done it again inside the pole and over the right field fence, his second homer this postseason. He had one last night, and here tonight, he's given the Braves a 2-0 lead.
And to put that into context, for Freddie Freeman, his second home run of the postseason, through the first 65 innings of this postseason, the Braves pitchers in total had allowed two home runs. Freddie Freeman, as many home runs hit at that moment than the Braves pitchers had allowed in the entire postseason. In the fifth inning, the Braves exploded.
The 1-0 is lifted in the air down the right side towards the right field corner. Fair ball. It gets past Betts, takes a bounce, and it hops over the wall. It's an automatic double, and Darnell comes in to score, and it is 7-0.
Yeah, so they absolutely erupted in that fifth inning. That was in the top of the seventh inning, and it looked like it was going to be a blowout. But Corey Seager drew the Dodgers closer in the bottom of the seventh.
Minter, here's a 2-1. Swing and a fly ball hit in the air left center field. Going back, Pache looking out of here. Into the bullpen in left center field. Seager with one swing. The Dodgers are on the board. And look out, it's 7-3 Atlanta.
So in game one of this series, Ozzie Albies hit a home run out into the Atlanta bullpen. Mark Melancon was warming up, and he turned and saw the ball coming toward him and caught it. Well, Ozzie Albies came to the plate in the top of the ninth inning of last night's game.
The pitch. Swing and a high fly ball hit the air left center field. This one's got a chance. Way back there and gone. Mark Melancon has caught another Ozzie Albies homer. Into the bullpen. This time Melancon had to make a running catch. Albies will touch them all, and it's 8-3.
That was Boog Sciambi with the call. He had the call last night with Jessica Mendoza and myself. So it was 8-3 at that point. You felt like that was a meaningless insurance home run. You know what? In the bottom of the ninth inning, the Dodgers began to come back.
The 2-0. Swing and a high fly ball. Well struck. Right field. Way back. Out of here. Max Muncy, a two-run homer. And it's now an 8-6 game.
And the Dodgers' rally continued.
And the 0-1. Swing and a ball hammered right field. That one takes a hop and bangs off the wall. Racing towards third is Will Smith. Smith coming to the plate, and he's in. Bellinger into third. It's an RBI triple, and the Dodgers are within one.
The next batter to the plate, A.J. Pollock.
The pitch. Swing and a ground ball to third. Riley up with it over to first. Ball game. And the Braves win it. They hang on by their fingernails. Mark Melancon cleans it up. And the Braves win game 2-8-7 and take a 2-0 lead in this best of seven NLCS.
Braves manager Brian Snitker was asked after the game, how do the events of this game, the back and forth, affect the Braves?
No, it's great. It's a tough one. You know it's going to be. This is a good ball club we're playing, and they're explosive, as we saw. I didn't feel good with a big lead. I mean, because these guys are too powerful. But it's a good. That's a good ball game to win. They all are now. But we, you know, kind of shot ourselves in the foot there at the end, and Melancon did a great job coming in.
Corey Seager talked about the silver lining.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. This team's got a lot of fight. We've done it all year. We were one swing, one anything away from tying that ball game and going into extra. So it's never over until it's over. You know, this is a long series. You know, we're looking up to the challenge.
Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, was asked about whether or not being down 0-2 adds to the pressure to get Clayton Kershaw back on the mound.
Yeah, Julio will go tomorrow. And, you know, regardless, we still got to win a baseball game and you still got to win four of them. So we feel really good with Julio going.
Yeah, their thought is that Kershaw is going to pitch sometime in the series, but we'll be talking about all that with Carl Ravitch coming up about how that's not necessarily a sure thing. Rays, Astros, an absolute crossroad game for the Houston Astros, down 0-2 in this series, and they seem to be heading in the right direction the bottom of the first inning.
The 1-1 on the way, and Altuve sends one to left field. Well hit, a Rosarena back, and it's gone. Lands in the second row. A Rosarena actually almost overran it a little bit, kind of looked behind him, but I don't know if he would have had a play on it as Altuve hits it out, and Houston takes an early 1-0 lead.
But after that, the Rays defense manifested. Bottom of the first inning, Kevin Kiermaier out in center field.
Bregman sends one to center field, pretty well hit. Kiermaier going back, jumps at the wall, and he's got it. Kevin Kiermaier hauls it in right at the fence in deep center field, and it's another hard hit out for Alex Bregman.
And Kiermaier wasn't done. Bottom of the third inning.
First pitch from Yarbrough, and a swing and a fly ball to right center field, charging Kiermaier, and he's got it. Kevin Kiermaier into the alley in right center field with a diving catch to save a run and end the inning.
And we're going to be talking about Kevin Kiermaier during the course of this podcast. He's one of my favorite players to watch because of that intensity he has on defense. Top of the sixth inning, Houston clinging to a 1-0 lead. And you remember earlier in the series, Jose Altuve seemed to have throwing issues. Dusty Baker actually used the word yips. Well, in the top of the sixth, this is what happened.
They've got the shift on against him as he swings and pulls a ground ball to Altuve, who bounces a throw to second past Correa into left field. And another throwing error on Jose Altuve, this time as he tried to pivot and just forced the lead runner at second base.
And the rally continued.
The 0-2 and a fastball, and he pokes it the other way for another base hit. A Rosarena is going to come in to score. Lau is getting the wave, and he will score as Brantley's throw comes into third. Stopping at second is Diaz, and Tampa Bay has taken the lead.
And the Rays defense kept making plays.
And the 0-1 and a fastball line to right field. On comes Renfro, dives, and he's got it! Hunter Renfro with a diving catch, and Springer slams his helmet down to the grass. Another great defensive play by the Rays, robbing the Astros yet again. Two balls and a strike to count. Pitch on the way, and a fastball swung on. Hit to shallow right field. Coming on, a sliding catch by Renfro. Another really good play. And the Astros can't believe it. Sliding in on his knees, reaching down, picking it off the grass for the second out, and the runners have to hold.
It was 5-2 in the ninth inning when Diego Castillo came on to face Jose Altuve.
The 2-2. Check the swing. No, he went around. The home plate umpire, Jeff Nelson, made the call at the plate and says Altuve went around, two down.
Two outs in the ninth inning. This was the call.
And the 0-2 on the way, and a swing and a little jam shot. Fly ball left center field. Margot is there. And this ball game is over. The Rays beat the Astros 5-2, and they have taken a 3-0 lead in the American League Championship Series.
That, of course, the voice of the great Dan Shulman, my friend, on ESPN Radio. A 3-0 lead for Tampa Bay, and, of course, in the history of baseball, only one team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit, the 2004 Red Sox against the New York Yankees. During the course of this game, Kevin Kiermaier was hit by a pitch. He had to come out of the game. He had x-rays. Those were negative. He's considered day-to-day. After the game, Dusty Baker was asked about Jose Altuve.
You know, we're giving him all support that we can. And, you know, nobody feels, you know, worse than Jose because he takes it very serious and takes it to heart. I mean, You know, he's one of ours, and, you know, we've all been through this before. You know, not in this spotlight like this. I mean, it hurts us all to see him hurting. And, you know, we'll give him all the support that he, you know, that he needs.
Here's Michael Brantley.
It's a team effort. You win and lose together. I'm going to tell him the same thing I tell him every day. You know, we need him. He's a big part of why we're here and a big part of what we do. And we're always there for each other. That's what makes this team so special.
Joey Wendell talked about the outfield defense for the Rays.
A lot of people do a lot of research and to tell us where to play as a team. I mean, I know our outfielders have the cards. As infielders, we get our cue, you know, from our infield coach, Rodney, as to what position to play in. But, you know, if you watch us, we're moving 2-3 times per at bat to put us in the best position to make that. And, you know, we struggled a little bit defensively, and that was one of the things that we took pride in as a team. And I think we put in a lot of hard work throughout the season, and you know, we feel like we're in a lot better spot now. Tonight, Renfro, KK, Willie, I mean, just, you know, last night, it just seems like every night right now we're making big plays defensively, and our pitchers are doing what they do.
Rays manager Kevin Cash talked about being just one win away from reaching the World Series.
There's reason to be excited for how we played. We got to find a way to win a game tomorrow. I'm very confident the mindset with this group will stay consistent, and we'll do everything we can behind glass now to make plays and see where that takes us.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes. The clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Scene heads rejoice.
Nerd alert!
It's Timmy time.
Is this a great game or what?
With Tim Kirkchen on Baseball Tonight.
Tim Kirkchen covers baseball for ESPN, and Tim, thanks for working with us through some technical issues. It's a scramble this time of year. How late were you in the studio last night?
Well, we walked at 2 o'clock, so I didn't get to bed till 3, so I'm a little tired, but it's okay. It's postseason. We do the best we can.
Well, and no matter how you're feeling right now, you can't feel worse than Jose Altuve. I got to tell you, I feel terrible for him. I think he's a good person. He's a respected teammate. And I was texting back and forth with some of his former teammates with the Astros, and they were saying this absolutely must be chewing him up, Tim. Just watching that play out, and you know, I back in the day, I covered the Yankees for 4 years, and those were the years when Chuck Knoblauch was going through that. I tweeted something about it early this morning, and man, the social media backlash was like, well, it's karma. You know, I don't feel sorry for that guy, but you know him, Tim, and you know this is crushing him.
Yes, Buster, in 2016, when the Astros got knocked out of the playoffs, he went into A.J. Hinch's office after the game, after they got knocked out, and was literally crying and said, I'm the reason that we got knocked out of the playoffs. He was crying, and he was not the reason that they got knocked out of the playoffs, but he took it so personally that he was weeping in front of his own manager. That's how what kind of sensitive guy he is. And this must be crushing him. As you know, Buster, he did not have a throwing error this season. And he's got 4 in the postseason. He's never had 2 in a game in his career, regular or postseason, and he had 2 the other night. And these are throws that he could make in his sleep when he was 14 years old, and he's not making them now in the biggest games of the season. So This is really a sad situation. I know people want to say, oh, he deserves this. I don't believe that. I feel sorry for him, because this is not something that should be happening to someone of his ilk.
And I got to tell you, you know, having covered the Knobloch thing, and you've dealt with players who've had this, Rick Ankiel, you know, Steve Blass back in the day, on and on and on, you know, players dealing with this sort of this issue of the yips. You don't really know where it comes from. I have wondered since spring training, when the sign stealing stuff came up, boy, you know, how is Jose going to handle this? In a way that I didn't wonder about some of his teammates. I never thought that, you know, Alex Bregman, for example, is someone with absolute, resolute, you know, solid brick confidence. Never had a thought that that would affect him. I have wondered about Jose Altuve. And I wondered when he didn't hit during the regular season, you know, how much of that might be there. What about you?
Yeah, look, Buster, we know he's a very sensitive kid. He's 5'5". He likes being liked, like most people in the world. And when he becomes a villain, and he became a villain, as did that entire team, the way it was explained to me by people around him is he's not used to this, and this is going to affect him. A little guy who's had to fight through everything just to get a chance to play, and then he becomes this beloved figure, and now he becomes this villain. He's not going to handle this very well because he's such a sensitive kid, and that's maybe exactly what happened here. I mean, no one who hits, you know, 275 or above every single year and then drops to 219, there has to be an explanation more than he just can't get to the high fastball anymore. I think there's something here, and I think it's really sad, and I think it's something we need to examine, and maybe it's now happening in the postseason. It's really a strange situation.
Do you see a reasonable path for Houston to come back in this series? I mean, we know only one team has done it, come back from a 3-0 deficit, but do you see any sign of hope for them?
3-0, Buster, I don't, because, A, of the defense, obviously, that the Rays are playing, which has been spectacular, and just the moving parts they have in that bullpen. It is perhaps their greatest strength, is that they can bring a 97-mile-an-hour reliever coming out of the pen in almost any inning. Plus, they have Tyler Glass now throwing tonight, and he should be relatively, you know, fresh after not throwing more than two innings his last time out. So I don't see it. And that doesn't mean they're not capable of winning a couple games, but I'm not sure we've given the Rays enough credit all the way through here. They went 40-20. They have a great defense, a great bullpen, and three pretty darn good starting pitchers.
Yeah, you talked about that defense. I always thought that Kevin Kiermaier was my favorite defender to watch. What about you?
Yeah, he's so good, and he's also been around for so long. You know, we interviewed Joey Wendell last night after the game, and I asked him, you know, what's it like playing with Kevin Kiermaier? And he said, well, I've been here 3 years, he said. And he said, I can't even tell you how many times I've thought when a ball goes up in the air, that's not going to get caught. And then before he knows it, Kevin Kiermaier's running under it and catching it with relative ease. He has such a great first step. He has such a great feel and a great look at things that, you know, he rarely runs into a wall, even though he did last night. He's just one of the premier defenders that we've seen in a long time. You look at defensive runs saved and everything else. But just watch the games, and you know he's one of the best center fielders we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, I've got a fun story about Kiermaier and his passion for defense that I'll be telling later in the podcast. All right, so let's talk about the Dodgers and the Braves. I really felt like, you know, it was interesting that the seven runs that the Dodgers scored the last four innings last night, it's a moral victory, and you know what? It might actually mean something, because you got the sense, just looking in the face of, you know, Cody Bellinger and Justin Turner and Max Muncy, it did feel like that the Dodger players are like, okay, enough of this. We have to start digging in. We have to find a way through this. We can't have another postseason failure. What did you see?
Well, I'm not a big believer in moral victories in the playoffs. But at the same time, no one had hit the Braves bullpen this postseason until last night. And then the Dodgers just knocked some people around. And yes, they do have the starting pitching advantage in at least the next couple games until they see Max Fried again. So yes, there are reasons to say the Dodgers are going to roar back and win this thing, and I wouldn't be surprised. I just don't want people to underestimate the Braves because they haven't lost a postseason game yet. Even though their bullpen got knocked around last night, that's a darn good bullpen. And they can hit the ball out of the ballpark, as we know. But I'm with you on this, Buster. That I looked at those guys also, and they were like embarrassed at 7-0. Like, what is going on here? And with the pressure on that team, there's more pressure on the Dodgers than any team going into the playoffs. Maybe that was enough to turn this thing around. But moral victories, I'm not a big believer. I'd rather be 1-1 than 2-0, and that's where the Dodgers are right now.
Yeah, because of the history of teams with 3-0 deficits, today is effectively a must-win game for the Dodgers. I would say this, that because of the fact that they're playing 7 games in 7 days, because of depth issue on both sides, because of the uncertainty of around Clayton Kershaw, this, to me, we've now entered the mud-bog portion of this series, Tim, where we don't really know where the heroes are going to come from and you know, which guys are going to step up and throw well. We don't know, you know, which reliever is going to come in and give you those 2 innings. It just feels like it's going to be an absolute mud bog because of the fact that there's just so much uncertainty around the pitching.
Right. Well, the beauty of baseball, as we know, Buster, is even in normal times, we never know where the next hero is going to come from. And now it's going to be way more than that. We've already got Mike Brasso, Randy Arozarena. We got people coming out of nowhere. And when we start piling these games up with no off days and the stakes get a little bit higher, that's what's so delectable about this postseason now is you're right. You have no idea what's going to happen next with great players and with bit players and everything else. So that's why I can't wait to see who the next star is going to be, because I promise you there's going to be another Mike Brasso story coming up this postseason. And that's been the best story of the year so far.
Well, and Dave Roberts yesterday before the game talked about an expectation that Kershaw will pitch in this series. When we talked to him on the Zoom call before the game, he said, yeah, he's not going to pitch Game 3. He didn't specify which game he's going to pitch. There's a lot of speculation he's going to go in Game 4. Tim, I've got to the point with Kershaw where I think you can't assume anything. Like, this is an issue. The back spasms, you know, whether or not that is the hip might not be a part of this. You know, 5 years ago, 2016, he broke down in June, and he didn't pitch again until September. And I was reminded of that by an evaluator yesterday who told me to look the timeline that where he's broken down now with his back spasm issue, fits 2016 all over again. Now, he's changed some of his regimen that he's done. You know, he's changed his approach with injuries, but he's 32 years old, and he's 230 pounds, and he's been perching himself up on that, you know, left leg and landing on that right leg his whole life with the way that he pitches. And at some point, there's going to be an effect. And I hope that Clayton gets a chance to pitch again, but you just don't know with these type of injuries.
Yeah, I think he's going to pitch again, and I think he's going to, in this postseason and soon, and I think he's going to pitch effectively. But he's gotten hurt every year now, Buster, for 5 years. It wasn't that long ago where Madison Bumgarner was asking you, is this the greatest pitcher we've ever seen? That's how dominant he was, and that's how durable he was. And since then, he gets hurt all the time. And it's just because he's such a workout fanatic, and he tries so hard. And it's not, I mean, he's a great athlete, but it's an awkward throwing motion that eventually he's going to get hurt again. So I think we'll see him in Game 4, and I think he'll pitch well, but is there a guarantee of that? I don't think there are any guarantees anymore with Clayton Kershaw.
How good is Freddie Freeman? We saw again last night with the home run, his second in this series. he just seems completely locked in.
Yeah, you know, I still go back to that discussion you had with him a few years ago when he said, I never hit a home run in batting practice. I just hit a line drive over the shortstop's head. And I watch him every time now in BP and in games, and I watch that beautiful inside-out swing where he takes that ball on the inside part of the plate, keeps those hands in, and rifles a ball to left center field, as he's done so many times in his career and again in this postseason. But if you miss anywhere on the inside part of the plate, as what happened last night, that was supposed to be a changeup away, and they miss with a changeup in, and he rifles it to right field. So that's two home runs to right field in the last two games for Freddie Freeman. His batting average against fastballs this year was the best in the major leagues, and yet when you try to sneak a changeup by him, he crushes it also. I think he's going to win the MVP in the National League, and I'm thinking if I need one guy to do some damage, I'm going to take him right now. That's how well he is swinging it, and that's how well he has been swinging it for years.
All right, before you go, earlier this week, Rick Renteria, the White Sox, part ways, as the White Sox put it, I said on the podcast, but that's a polite way of saying he was fired. A lot of speculation around A.J. Hinch, a lot of speculation around Alex Cora. I'm going to ask you to put on your prognosticator hat and just answer a simple question. Where are those two guys managing each of them next year?
All right, we're guessing, of course, but I think Alex Cora is going to manage the Red Sox. I think it's very comfortable for him to go back there. I think they're going to look at their situation and say, he was great here, he was beloved here, he served his time, we're bringing him back. And I think Alex Cora would go back given the comfort level of the Red Sox. I think A.J. Hinch is going to manage the White Sox. And I think it would be a tremendous hire. I'm certainly not condoning anything that Alex Cora or A.J. Hinch did. But when you have a chance with a team on the rise to get a guy who's won a World Series as a manager, one of the real bright young guys in the game, who has a great feel for people and is a great strategist, that's where you got to go. And Rick Renteria didn't deserve to be fired. But if you're going to take the next step as the White Sox, you have to go get somebody who's been there before, and that's A.J. Hinch. So nothing is for sure, but I say A.J. Hinch to the White Sox, Alex Cora to the Red Sox.
All right, Jim. Thanks for pinch hitting and working through us on this, and I hope you get a chance to get a nap today.
Okay, Buster, thank you.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Hal Steinbrenner, the Yankees owner, was on the Michael Kay Show on Tuesday, 98.7 FM, and he was talking about the Yankees and the disappointing finish, and he was asked, will Aaron Boone be back as manager in 2021?
Aaron Boone is a good baseball man. He's a good leader. He has the respect of the players. Aaron Boone will be back next year. That's just a fact.
He was asked if he was happy with the job general manager Brian Cashman has done.
Yes. I mean, obviously, I've known Brian forever. The way he goes about doing things is in a very objective way. He listens to everybody, pro scouting and analytics, and anybody else that wants to get into his ear. And I know the people that work under him respect him, and Boone respects him. And it's been good. And we're just going to have to keep plugging away.
He was asked if he views this season as a failure.
Do you look at this season as a failure?
First of all, it was such an obviously unusual season, but the reality is I look at the successes of any season and the failures of any season. Overall, our objective was to win a world championship. We failed in that endeavor. Does that mean the entire season was a failure? No, I don't think winning 10 in a row was a failure. And last year, I don't think winning 100 games was a failure. I know people disagree with me on that, but I look at the season as a whole. We failed in our objective, but there were positives and there were successes along the way.
Of course, there are no fans in the stands for the 2020 season, and he was asked about fans being in the stands for the start of 2021.
I have no idea, and neither do you guys. We'll just have to see what happens with this virus, with vaccines, and nobody would love it more than me. It was a surreal experience to be playing regular season games with no fans. Didn't like it any more than any of you did. So hopefully we get back to some normalcy in 2021, because I've about had it with 2020.
He was asked about Gary Sanchez's struggles.
It is surprising. I guess we'll just have to see about next year, obviously, going forward. But it's an incredible amount of talent, and he's going to keep working his backside off, and we're going to keep helping him in every way we can. And all goes well, I believe we'll get him back.
The guy who was the best player for the Yankees this year, DJ LeMahieu, and he was asked whether or not LeMahieu, who's going into free agency, will be back.
Well, I think I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't recognize what a contribution he made to the club and how good of a player he is. So I recognize both those things. I'll leave it at that.
Numbers game.
Sarah Lang's a reporter and producer for MLB.com. And Sarah, I want to start with this today because I don't say this enough to you. Thanks for your work during the course of games. You know, last night, and it turned out to be apropos, I was texting you during the game saying, hey, when the Braves had a 7-0 lead, what are their chances to win? Because I was thinking that Dave Roberts needed to sort of dictate some of his pitching decisions, moving forward based on the win probability for both teams. And as it turned out, your numbers were fantastic because it informed this Dodgers comeback that came oh so close. So, man, you work hard during the course of games.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I love that. I mean, you know, win probability, I thought that was a great use of it. You know, it's so available on, you know, any box score on Baseball Savant, and it was perfect. And I totally agreed with you. And then it ended up being a one-run game, you know, so that was fascinating.
Exactly. All right, let's play the numbers game.
Number three
is 3-0. So the Rays are now up 3-0 in the ALCS. And we know this, but that 3-0 series lead is just about as solid as you can get aside from going ahead and winning the series. So in postseason history, teams taking a 3-0 lead in any best-of-seven series have gone on to win that series 37 of 38 times. That's 97% of the time. The only team to rally to win a series they were trailing 3-0 was the 2004 Red Sox in the ALCS against the Yankees. And of the 37 teams to go ahead 3-0, 30 of them have completed the sweep in Game 4, 5 finish it off in Game 5, and 2-1 in Game 6. So other than the Yankees and Red Sox in 2004, none of them even went to 7 games.
Number two
is 10. So this is one of those things that I came across last night at about 2 a.m. and it was fascinating me. And I wish that, you know, I had come across it a little bit earlier, but hopefully people can be talking about it a bit today. So the Braves have left 10 or more runners on base in 3 straight games and are 3-0 in those games. They're the first team to leave 10 runners on in 3 straight games and go 3-0 in a single postseason ever. The Astros have left 10 or more on in 3 straight games and are 0-3 in those. And they're the first team to do that in 3 straight and lose all 3 games. And only one team has left 10 runners on in four straight games, regardless of what happened in those games, in a single postseason. It was the 1973 Mets in games 2-5 in the World Series against the A's, which they actually went 3-1 in. But either of them could tie that with four straight games where they leave 10 or more runners on. And the fact that they've had completely disparate outcomes is just, it just tells you a lot about this postseason.
Number one
is four. So Randy Arozarena now has four games this postseason with three or more hits. So that's tied with 2017 Jose Altuve, 2004 Albert Pujols, and 1995 Edgar Martinez and Jay Buhner for the most three-hit games in a single postseason. Randy Arozarena has tied a postseason record. He has 18 hits this postseason, which is tied for fourth most by a rookie in a single postseason. And the only rookies with more were 1996 Derek Jeter with 22, 2017 Yuli Gurriel with 21, and 1995 Chipper Jones with 20. So especially with how the series is looking for the Rays, it feels like Randy Arozarena could set that record as well for hits by a rookie in a postseason.
So a busy night for you. What time did you finish working? Because as you and I talk, it's 7:55. We're taping a little earlier this morning. What time did you finish last night?
It's a great question. There's Twitter evidence that I tweeted at 3:03 a.m., which I had to look up because I did not remember. I knew it was in the threes, but let's say sometime between 3 and 3:30. But you know what? It's postseason baseball. It's so much fun. It's so energizing. I don't even feel tired, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's October for you, which means no sleep. All right, Sarah, thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much for having me, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Wednesday. First up, again, a question from yours truly. I want to know, Buster, what's your favorite thing about the Rays defense? Is it the outfield grabs? Is it the first base picks? Is it Mike Zunino gobbling up any errant pitches behind the plate? What do you like best?
It's Kevin Kiermaier. I mean, he just has a passion for defense. I remember the first time I talked to him, he just looked at me and said, I love talking about defense. And in fact, it was a spring training batting practice session. I'll never forget. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning down at in Port Charlotte where the Rays have their training facility. And I remember Logan Morrison being at the plate. And Kiermaier was out in center field and he was tracking fly balls. And Taylor, he kept on hitting line drives like in deep center field and right center field. And Kiermaier's catching everything. And he's diving. Like he's going all out. And then Logan Morrison gets a pitch and drives it over the right center field fence. And I can't say on this podcast, this family-friendly podcast, what exactly he said. But Logan Morrison looked out and yelled at him and said, catch that, you blank. Everyone just burst out laughing. That was just batting practice.
Oh, man, he's amazing. Hopefully he's going to be okay. I was very nervous when he got hit. So
me too.
Hopefully he'll be all right. Matt Richter is our last one for today at Matt J. Richter. He writes in, not to sound too lame, but should players be throwing balls into the stands? Bunch of folks fighting for a ball doesn't seem to be a great idea when trying to socially distance.
Yeah, I guess by the letter of the law, they probably shouldn't. But geez, it's 2020. I just hope someone's having fun.
Yeah, throw the fans a bone, please.
But it's a fair question, Matthew. It's a fair question.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Please subscribe to, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Enjoy the games today, everyone.
That's it for today. My thanks to Carl, to Sarah, to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.